I think when you see, you know, those types of situations firsthand, it completely changes you. And I also think a lot of people think you have to go abroad to go volunteer, and people go on volunteer trips abroad, and seeing the need right here in our own country is the most eye-opening thing that I could have ever imagined.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brian Nickerson. I'm guest hosting Women in Tech. I'm very excited for our guest today. She's Laura Hertz, co-founder and CEO of Gifts for Good. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Gifts for Good.
Yeah, Gifts for Good is an e-commerce platform, and we sell employee and client gifts that all support charitable causes. So we work with over 40 different nonprofits and social enterprises around the world, and we curate premium products that all give back.
Amazing. So how did you come up with the idea? How did this start?
Yeah, I was actually in business school at USC Marshall, and I met my co-founder there actually doing research on the corporate gifting market for a class project. And we just pretty quickly realized during a semester-long project that this is a huge industry and no one was adding social impact to corporate gifting. So we're really the first players in the corporate gifting field, which is huge, over $60 billion a year is spent just here in the U.S. on corporate gifts. So we're the first people focused on adding social impact to this market.
And Laura, before the show, you were telling me that stat of $60 billion spent on corporate gifts and then $18 billion of what? Donate?
Yeah, $18 billion is given in charitable donations by corporations every year, but $21 billion is spent just on corporate swag. So that's like promotional items, and then $60 billion just on corporate gifts. So imagine the good you could do if companies all switch their gifting budgets to add social impact to that. And that's really our whole goal.
Amazing. I mean, I found those numbers astounding, right?
Yeah, it's
shocking. Such a big market.
Yeah.
So walk us through a little bit the flow of someone gets a product and then part of that is going to a charity. If you can just like tell us a little bit more about how it works.
Yeah. A lot of people think that only like 2% of profits are going to all these various different causes, but we're really curating products that are actually made by nonprofits and cause-based enterprises themselves. So for example, a lot of people know the Downtown Women's Center here in Los Angeles. They have a employment program for women who are transitioning out of homelessness. They teach them life skills such as making like candles and soaps, and they actually use the sale of those products to help fund their programs. And we do a lot of that. We have a lot of products that are actually supporting charitable causes and helping nonprofits really to reach a greater market and grow their reach and impact. So we work with both nonprofits and social enterprises, but these are all goods that are made by them themselves.
Wow. And so then you're supporting, so like the supply chain is made for good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we have a various models that we do. So some people will think of, Tom's Shoes. We do have a one-for-one model on some of our products. For example, you buy one and we'll plant a tree and you'll get a card with the exact coordinates on Earth where a tree was planted in your honor. But we have a huge focus on direct employment programs. So we employ, you know, people coming out of human trafficking, homelessness, chronic poverty all over the country and world. So we're paying, you know, not just fair wages or fair trade products. Like these are really, really high impact products from a lot of nonprofits that have been around for 20, 30 years in Denver, in Nashville, in Alabama. And you wouldn't really know them unless you were local to those cities. And we're really trying to create a one-stop shop for corporate gifts that are all supporting cause-based enterprises.
Amazing. So are there, what are some big corporations that you work with so far, like on the corporate buying side?
I wish that I could say, but I have to kind of keep it under the radar. Yeah. But we have an incredible number of big name companies. And I mean, yeah. having only been around for 6 months, we were yeah. honestly shocked because we just knew there was a market need when, I wish I could say the names of the companies, but I mean, they're, you know, publicly traded big name companies that anyone would know walking down the street yeah. who came to us just within our first month of launching our e-commerce site. So it's been really, really incredible to see the quality and the types of companies we've been able to attract in a short period of time. I think especially this year, companies are looking to find a way to do good and to, you know, really attract and retain their millennial workforce who really cares about corporate social responsibility.
Yeah. So I was impressed, Laura, as you came in, you had an amazing water bottle made by Cotopaxi,
yes,
right? One of
yes.
your partners, and then also with the Gifts for Good logo on it.
Yeah,
can you tell
exactly.
us a little bit about that partnership?
Yeah, I love their products. Cotopaxi is a fantastic organization. They provide targeted grants to 5 different nonprofits that are addressing the root causes of poverty, everything from health to livelihood initiatives to education to women. And they are really, really stringent about their supply chain, similar to the way that Patagonia is. So really incredible knowing where those products are coming from. We love selling their products to companies. They have everything from water bottles to, down jackets and vests and fleeces, laptop commuter sleeves, backpacks, and all of it can be branded for a company to add their logo on it.
Amazing. And so how does a partnership like that come about? I mean,
by me literally picking, incredible hustle. I literally spent the better part of a year saying, hey, I'm making a website. we are the first people focused on corporate gifting with a social impact. I want your products on it. So
yeah.
a lot of it was literally just me cold calling these companies and, telling them about the type of clients that we were attracting and going to be working with. And, our whole goal is to get all of these nonprofits and social enterprises in the door with companies and get the word out about the good that they're doing so they can grow their reach and impact around the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. Such an inspirational journey to take on.
It has. It's been really fun.
I'm wondering what other companies are kind of like would be great partners for these types of gifts. So one thing just very recently, there was, I think an Adidas came out with a shoe that's made from ocean plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right, that's a obviously like very large company with a specific product.
Right.
But can you talk a little bit about other companies that either now or in the future would be a really good fit?
In terms of like as our customers to buy our products. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, honestly, it's like every company. There can be the ones that are focused on corporate social responsibility, but also for the companies that have no focus on corporate social responsibility and really don't have a department that's focused on that, this is a really great way for them to show that they're supporting philanthropic causes through something that they're already doing. So we have companies that are extremely philanthropic that we work with. And then we also have companies where they really aren't doing enough at all. And they recognize that. And they realize that this is a really easy way for them to be able to show their employees that they care about social responsibility. So we have kind of clients across the board when it comes to the type of companies that we work with.
Yeah. So are there, what large companies do you really admire in terms of their programs that they have in corporate social responsibility?
Yeah. You know, my old employer, Deloitte, does have fantastic programs in corporate social responsibility. I did, even though, I saw like the waste with some of the things that they were buying, they had an incredible focus on it. They have a whole consulting department that was focused on social impact. They shut down their offices across the world for a day to do volunteering, and they made sure, there were always programs and ways for you to give back. So there are big companies like that that are doing great things and that you might not know about, but companies are increasingly having a focus on corporate social responsibility and also just recognizing its importance, especially with everything going on in the world. The last year or two, you see more companies kind of speaking up to, hey, I support refugees. Hey, this is the Me Too movement. Here's a really easy way for me to support women and say, you can buy our leather bag that is supporting women, or you can buy a candle from our site that's hand poured by a woman refugee. It's an easy way for a company to speak to the causes that they care about and really align their core values to their corporate gifting.
Yeah, That's beautiful. And so you haven't raised money yet, right?
We haven't.
Yeah. And your co-founder, tell us the story about joining forces with your co-founder.
Yeah, my co-founder, Jerry, is a really fantastic guy. I met him in business school. We didn't know each other well in school, but we worked together for the course of the semester on this project together. And he's just honestly like one of the most interesting people that I know. He's really a serial entrepreneur. He has his MBA, his JD, and like three other master's degrees. One of those really overeducated people. And he's just really incredible. He came back. He's over, about 30 years my senior, and came back to study social impact at business school. So he really didn't need to do that. He had done really well for himself, and he really wanted to find a way to do good with the rest of his career. And I really admire that about him. We're a really interesting pair when we, come into a meeting or boardroom when you have a, millennial woman and someone almost 30 years or senior, walking in. So it's a really nice balance and really great as co-founders.
And so how do you guys split responsibilities?
We each kind of dabble in everything, as everyone does at any
sure.
startup.
Yeah.
He has a lot of experience, having his JD with like legal and a lot of experience with finance. He's been in commercial real estate for about 30 years here in LA. So he has a really great background there. Mm-hmm. And we really, balance things out. I'm definitely more of like the creative, the marketing person. You won't find him understanding how to, reply all on an email, like just small little things. So, we laugh about getting him up to speed in terms of tech and, social media, but it's great because, we each balance each other out and we have our strengths, in each department.
Yeah. So do you foresee that you will raise funding at some point? Or?
We talk about it. It's always a big trade-off for us because of our social impact, and it can be difficult because you can sacrifice that as mm-hmm. you grow and raise money. And for us, that's the most important thing about what we're doing. So as we grow, we just want to find a way to make sure that we can always control that and that, the social impact is always in our hands. And it's hard to grow too quickly with the types of enterprises we work with. You have to think when, our soaps and candles are directly employing women coming out of homelessness in LA.
Right.
How many thousands can they make? It'll really, there's always, a supply chain, a problem there, if you will. So we can't grow too quickly, but we also want to grow and we want to be able to, have a huge impact. So we talk about it kind of daily, and it's one of those things we'll explore as we grow.
Yeah. So like with that, with the supply chain challenge that you might face, is that like you have to turn down orders or?
No, we've never come across having to turn down orders. But, if you raise, $25 million or something, it will grow too quickly that it'll get difficult.
Right.
So right now we're totally fine. And, we can meet that and we can turn things around. And we haven't had any issues with the really large companies that we're working with. So we get everything from, 500 unit orders to 5,000. And we can still turn them around. But of course, just due to the nature of our work, there is a slower time than, a factor in China that's just printing a t-shirt. We literally work with at-risk youth here in California who are being taught to screen print all of our apparel. So there's just by nature a longer lead time built into the types of businesses that we work with.
Right. And so how do you do that storytelling? Is that something
so important?
It's
really unique because we work with so many different types of enterprises. So right now, we have like a story card for all of them where we really try to tell their story when you get the gift itself. So for some of them, for example, we have the candles that are hand poured by the women refugees that I mentioned. We actually have a photo of the woman who poured that candle on the front of it. And when you receive that candle, you actually read about her story as a refugee, the country she came from, what some of the troubles were for her and her family coming here to America, and how you're changing her life and her family. And it can be just extremely powerful when, you get a candle, sure, but like when you get a candle and you see the person who poured it for you and you read about, the kind of life that she went through before this and that you're paying her a living wage and enabling her to stay in America, it's just really, really powerful.
Yeah. Wow. Are there certain parts of parts of the community that have been helpful for you as you've grown as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Let me think. So, I really admire Cam Kashani. She's here and runs a company called CoExcel. They're the first like human accelerator, if you will, really focused on the entrepreneur and how do you enable them to just be better as a human being and be better at their job. And I, you know, spent some time working with Cam and completely admire what she's doing here.
Yeah. Amazing. Cam's a rock star, right? Mm-hmm. She's phenomenal. Who else? Other folks you admire?
Yeah, I really admire my coworker, Janice Steverding. She was the second hire in Tom Shoe's, you know, global giving program. She grew their giving department from 1 million to 40 million pairs of shoes through impactful partnerships there. So the person in charge of giving away millions of pairs of shoes around the world. And she's just absolutely incredible. She's our head of impact right now. And there's probably no one I admire more than her. She knows everything about the impact space. She knows exactly the types of partners that we should bring on. And one of the hardest things about what we're doing is actually measuring the social impact at the product mm-hmm. level, which can be so difficult to really be able to tie back, you know, 15 minutes of employment for every candle that's poured or you know, every water bottle provides 6 months of clean drinking water to an individual. She is really trying to tie that so that we can actually share that impact with the companies that we work with. And then they can create things like social media shareables and a social impact report. So it's a very difficult aspect of what we're doing. And I wholeheartedly admire how she's really able to do that and find, you know, the right organizations for us to be working with.
Yeah. So how, one of the things that's challenging as a startup or can be, right, is finding these amazing hires. Like how'd you get Janice?
Yeah. You know, I just really, really lucked out. I met her actually at a conference at USC at the business school there. It's called the Move Forward Conference. So it's all focused on social impact businesses and some really incredible businesses as well that are coming out of USC. And, you know, she came up at the end and just introduced herself when I did my business pitch and was talking about what I was doing. And she said, hey, you know, Tom's created a marketplace that was kind of similar. Here are a couple of really awesome companies you should check out. And, you know, I kind of bothered her for months to like get some intros to companies. And then she ended up coming into my office and we just hit it off together. We had both lived in South Africa, and we really just had a lot to talk about in that department and really just giving back. And we had a lot of alignment there. And I think we both just kind of looked at each other and felt like, you know, God had put us in that place to meet each other and that like we were meant to work together. And I, you know, I got kind of personal after what I said I wanted to hire her because we weren't really at the stage where we wanted to bring on a full time hire yet. But I just felt like it was one of those moments where it was like that was meant to be.
Yeah.
And I think I just feel really lucky.
Yeah. Amazing. I think also, I mean, you have such an interesting experience, as you talked about all the places, right, where you gave back in between high school and college.
Yeah,
and like, can you share a little bit how transformative that was for you?
Cause
And like, I mean, just to like put a little, paint on that, right. A lot of people think that there's like one path, right. You go to high school, then you go straight to college, then you like get good grades and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And the appreciation of these different paths that people walk can actually be really powerful and transformative. And so
I'm
just curious about that.
No, I'm happy you asked because I really tell people all the time how much it impacted my life. And it was kind of crazy because, you know, you're only 18 years old. You don't think that it's going to have such an impact on your life. But I mean, I came from a town where I was lucky enough to always have food on the table and, you know, a roof over my head and a nice community and friends. And, you know, of course, everyone goes through stuff growing up, but not like, you know, seeing post-Hurricane Katrina devastation and people not being able to go back to their homes for, you know, 2 years. And you go and work in the inner city schools and you recognize how lucky you are to have the education that you have. And I think when you see, you know, those types of situations firsthand, it completely changes you. And I also think a lot of people think you have to go abroad to go volunteer and people go on volunteer trips abroad, and seeing the need right here in our own country is the most eye-opening thing that I could have ever imagined, because there's just too many people that think you need to go abroad to go help people. And there's so many people right here in our own backyard, in our own community, in our own country who are in desperate need. And that's a huge focus of what we want to do is really, you know, support our community, support LA, support California, support America, but also, of course, support globally, just people in need. And I definitely always encourage people that if you have kids, make them do a gap year. And me and my husband say that we're going to actually have our kids do that. If they want us to pay for their college education, they have to serve for a year. Uh-huh. And that's just like something that I'm going to say because it transformed me that much that I think it would do the same for anyone.
And in many ways, I'd imagine my friends who've done that, I think got more out of college because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're
100%. You're more mature. Yeah.
100%.
Like I went to school, I was actually planning on studying like engineering, which to me is completely crazy because I would have been the worst engineer. So it's funny to me that I was ever even thinking about being an engineer. And then, you know, I do AmeriCorps and then I realize, oh, like business. Oh, like maybe I can do business for good. And I never, ever, ever would have been on the path that I'm on without taking that year.
Yeah. Very cool. I love also the, like in LA, there's the obviously the homelessness is a big problem mm-hmm. in Los Angeles, or not even a problem. It's just a challenge, right?
It's a problem. Yeah. I mean, it is.
Yeah. And it's getting worse recently.
It is.
And then Mayor Garcetti released a new plan recently, mm-hmm. just in the last few days. Does that impact you at all? Do you have thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, it impacts some of the organizations that we work with and the nonprofits that we support. I think we work with a lot of incredible organizations here in LA that are helping with that cause. You may have heard of like the Giving Keys. They're an incredible organization that actually employs men and women transitioning out of homelessness, and they hand stamp, mm-hmm. you know, inspirational messages on keys and provide them with full-time living wages. We also work with that organization I mentioned, you know, Poverties. They're employing women transitioning out of homelessness to do our screen printing on all of our apparel. There's ways that you can really enable long-term, you know, success for those individuals and support mm-hmm. them and pay them living wages and help to connect them to jobs afterwards as well. So Downtown Women's Center as well, an incredible organization here. They're the ones I was talking about that have the, you know, soaps and candles and an employment program and so many other services that they provide that are absolutely incredible for that community. So it's a really difficult challenge, but there's small things that you can do, such as just buying products that
right.
help provide employment to those individuals and help to, you know, fund living wages. This is an expensive city to live in. And, you know, it's expensive for anyone. But when you're in that type of situation, you know, a small thing like buying soaps and candles that help women transitioning out of homelessness, just like do that instead of a regular gift off of Amazon for your mom for the holidays.
Completely.
Like there's little things that you can do. Everyone's buying a gift.
So to that, where should we go to Gifts for Good for that? Or where
yeah,
where would we go?
I mean, while we are focused on corporate gifting, about 50% of our products, you can buy just one off on our site mm-hmm. and you can get things for everything from the holidays to, you know, gifts for your wedding even. So even though we're not focused on that, we serve those markets and we can do just, you know, one off gifts. So yeah, giftsforgood.com. Check it out. Anytime you're giving a gift, I just want to encourage everyone. It's $110 billion industry, the gifting industry. 1 in every 10 retail dollars in the US is spent on a gift. It's astounding how much money is being spent on gifts. And I always just want to encourage people the next time you're buying a gift, buy one with purpose and just try to do that.
Yeah, that's so good. Laura, if you had an ask of the community, what would it be?
My ask of the community would be to go on our Facebook page. And for every like that we get on our Facebook page, we donate a meal to a person in need. So a really, really easy way, just give us a thumbs up. We're at Gifts for Good HQ, GIFTSFORGOOD, and then HQ like headquarters. So just go like our Facebook page and it's as easy as that. You can provide a meal to someone.
So cool. So easy to help. I love it. Well, Laura, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
UpGuard, one of my favorite companies in Mountain View, combines asset discovery, security ratings, and vendor questionnaires for the only complete cyber risk solution. Not only do they keep us safe online, they empower women in tech internally. They focus on hiring female engineers to make sure that we rise to the top. So I welcome you to take a look at their job opportunities from Mountain View to New York, New York to Sydney, Australia. They are a company worth exploring. Their mentorship culture is magnetic. Mention the Women in Tech podcast when you apply. Just as they celebrate women in tech, we want to celebrate you too. So make sure to let us know when you've reached out to UpGuard and we'll make sure to feature you on the Women in Tech social channels. We believe in you. upguard.com. Visit them for yourself. You'll see exactly what I mean. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.